Hello and welcome along to the Anxiety Specialist podcast. I'm your host, Michael Burrows.
And I'm Becky Burrows.
If you've been struggling with anxiety or know someone who has been, then this podcast is for you.
Today, we're going to be covering some more tips, strategies, and insights so you can get the anxiety-free life you deserve.
Ready? Let's dive in.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, Lauren. Just going to introduce you to our audience. So Lauren Smith is a certified mindfulness teacher and author of The Mindful Dating Journal, Find a Healthy Love That Lasts, which has been adapted also into a free mobile app, which is really cool. Lauren helps self-aware women date in peace and claim their deepest desires. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Becky, for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you and for our conversation.
Yeah. And would you be able to just firstly go a bit deeper into what do you do and who do you help?
Sure. Ever since I wrote the Mindful Dating Journal, I've been really refocusing how I spend my time and what my life purpose is. Mm. And I realized that all the bad breakups that I've been through and all the anxiety that I've managed to overcome was helping me to find a path where I can then show other people how to struggle less in their life and to just open up to, and just to open up to all the love and the opportunities that are out there for us instead of being stuck in these anxious patterns.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that because it seems to keep coming up with people who I'm talking to about how our own journeys with anxiety, it's not just the struggle we have to get through to get to the place where we live our purpose, but actually it ends up taking us on a journey to a purpose that incorporates our struggles and actually means that we can help others. And it turns that struggle into purpose. It makes it actually meaningful. And I love that because it's a lot of work to go through that anxiety journey. And it's good to know that on the other side, there can be real joy and meaning.
For sure. And I think connecting with that purpose is what was one of the things that helped me heal through my anxiety. I was so stuck in this loop of avoidance and fear that when I finally had the awareness and the mindfulness to be like, okay, I see that I'm on the loop, but then I didn't know where to go from there. And it was almost like I was lingering dangerously close to getting sucked back into that loop, even though I saw it. So once I finally had that purpose, I was able to be like, okay, there's the path and it leads away from the loop. And when I could just focus on that purpose, then the anxiety just got farther and farther in the background. Never truly gone, but not as threatening.
We hear so many people who want to just like switch off their anxiety and it's like, where's the switch? Where's the turn off my anxiety? Mm-hmm. And because it's a natural emotion and experience, it's how to live a life where it doesn't prevent you doing the important things. And that's where finding a purpose can be so helpful, because it gives you the motivation and the direction to actually move away from, stop doing the avoidance and actually move towards something important, which is really
sure. Cool. And that's the struggle, is like, how do you know what your purpose is? Mm. How do you know what you actually want to move towards in your life? And when, for me, at least when it came to dating and relationships, I had the totally wrong idea of what I wanted. Deep down, what I thought I wanted was I just wanted to be loved by someone. Mm. I wanted to be worthy enough of that person. So I was putting a lot of this stress on that. To me, to be successfully in a relationship meant that I earned someone else's love and approval.
Right.
And that's totally not helpful. That was throwing my anxiety through the roof.
Yeah.
And it took me a lot of time to sit with myself, learning things like self-love, self-acceptance, to finally give myself the space to say, I am worthy on my own. I don't need to learn that or earn that from someone else. And then I could finally say, okay, well, what do I want? What have I been living for this whole time? If it wasn't for my own needs and my own desires, like it just kind of busted the lid off of all of these limitations. And without that attachment to getting validation or approval from other people,
I
felt like that purpose was so bright and clear for me.
Oh, so interesting that when dating and romantic relationships become a means to meet a need, we actually need to meet ourselves and to give us validation of something we need to know intrinsically, internally. And so, oh, and needing to make that flip. So I'm interested in when you were able to give yourself that self-love and that validation of your worthiness. Can I ask, what was it that you wanted in a relationship? Once you realized you didn't need that, what did you actually want?
I think I want what a lot of us want. I just wanted to be seen for who I am authentically and to have permission to be that person in a safe place and just to be loved for that on my bad days, on my good days, and just like not having to earn or do anything. So I'm going to take it way back because
I think it might help you to kind of
understand a little bit more about my childhood and where my anxiety comes from and how that showed up in my relationship.
Yeah.
So I grew up in what I now understand to be a codependent home. My mom didn't really know how to manage her emotions very well. And that's because her mom didn't know either. And that's a lifelong struggle too, is that I'm still now at age 36, learning what emotional intelligence means and how to really get in tune with my emotions and my body, understand what they're trying to do to help me. Because my entire life, I pushed them down. I avoided them. Yep. I was so afraid to feel anything because I just didn't live in a house where that was okay. No one really showed emotion other than anger. And I resented my mom for her anger. So I never showed anger. Right. I was voted most optimistic of my graduating class. So this is like the picture of toxic positivity right here.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So you can imagine that joyful face that I was putting on to the world. Like everything's great. I'm fine. But inside, I was dealing with that anxiety and clinically and also dealing with depression.
Right.
I was on medication. Yep. I have always been very sensitive to certain foods, and I didn't realize at the time that I had a lot of food intolerances.
Me too.
Yeah. Yes. I think that happens a lot of times when people have anxiety as well.
Yeah.
That's a whole different conversation. But I think that I developed an eating disorder too, because I was always hyper-focused on what I was eating and how that was affecting me. Yeah. I was hyper-focused on basically anything that was a threat. So
yes.
Classic anxiety is happening right here.
Yeah.
And it reached a breaking point when I was in high school and on the verge to college. I started cutting my wrists.
Okay.
And I was on some anxiety medications and I was snorting them, like just like starting to get into drug abuse.
Yeah.
But I was just doing what I could do at the time to get by and to feel safe. By the time I got to college, I ended up attempting suicide. I took all of my anxiety meds and the Ambien that I was prescribed.
Yeah.
And I just laid down feeling very numb and hopeless, powerless to my anxiety and my struggles in my life. Mm. Luckily, I woke up, thank God.
Yay.
And I was fine. Like I kept moving. Yeah. I kept moving forward in my life, but I still don't feel that I truly got any relief from the anxiety. I just realized that I didn't want to die. I wanted to keep living and I wanted to keep trying. So eventually there was a moment in my professional career, and I was, I guess, in my late 20s, I had a conflict with a coworker. And in my opinion, my anxious place in my heart, this conflict was her trying to get me fired. And it brought up so many intense traumas from my childhood.
Yeah.
That I ended up having this crazy dream one night. I had a nightmare that I accidentally killed my coworker in my dream. And I woke up and I was like, okay, this is like next level. I don't feel comfortable with what's going on in my brain. So I sought help from a therapist.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to that therapist because she showed me mindfulness and self-love. And by continuing to practice that, I feel the most relief in my anxiety ever in my life. Oh, I legitimately feel peaceful, which is something that I would never have described to myself before.
Yeah.
And I had I love celebrating that. Yeah. I am at peace.
Yeah.
But I also had this terrible habit of picking at my fingers, like, you know, just a nervous kind of habit. And it just was kind of gross, honestly. And I would have to wear band-aids because it got really bad. And this is something that I had been doing since my high school career. Like anytime I had tests or exams or my hands would show that anxiety. And today my hands are pristine. I don't do that anymore, which is insane. So I do feel like I've made a lot of progress. And I really will say that mindfulness and self-love are the two pathways that got me to the place where I could say, I am not my anxiety. And I don't want my anxiety to stop me from living the life of my dreams.
Yeah.
And then once I got to that place, and I gave myself permission to say, well, what are my dreams? Well, I want to find love. I want to find a love that's healthy. And I want to find a partner that isn't codependent. And I want to find someone that does see me for who I am and doesn't require anything extra or any sacrifices. So yes, it's very liberating. And I just want to be able to share all these things that I've learned with other people that might be struggling with anxiety and at any path that they're on, whether it's at the beginning where I was just getting into mindfulness, maybe you're at the place where you've been loving yourself, but you're just like getting stuck. Cause it took me a while to like fully love myself.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're here, you found your purpose and you're ready to go out and date. And you just want to be able to come home and reflect in a journal and help you just check off like, okay, I know I'm choosing somebody healthy. I am feeling insecure, but it's okay. I love myself anyway. So yes, it worked for me. It's going to work for you because it's all evidence-based stuff that I've been using to get through this.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's so helpful, I think, for people, especially when they're starting out with anxiety. It feels like no one else has gone through this and it's just you, and that your life's over because, you know, how are you possibly going to get through this? And it can be really hard to start moving through that when you don't have other examples of people who have gone before you. And so to hear someone's story of going through those really dark times, even having struggles with hurting yourself and with suicide attempts, and getting in those dark places and still being able to come out of that and come to a place where have peace in your life. And I love the shift when you are able to move to a place where you're not wanting anxiety to get in the way anymore. You're able to achieve that through these strategies. Then it's like, what do I actually want my life to be? And with anxiety being so much avoidance-based, I'm not sure if this has been your experience, but you avoid wanting things and avoid kind of thinking about the things you want because you're just trying to avoid all the emotions. And so you don't get that same progress in your life, which sounds like when you did that work, suddenly it opened you up to be able to start focusing on actually moving towards things that are important to you.
Because I think when I was a child, I thought that it wasn't okay to want something because my needs really weren't understood in a way that I needed them to be as a child. So I grew up really just thinking that it was kind of selfish to put my needs first.
Right.
Or that if I was pursuing something that I wanted, that there might be some punishment because that wasn't perhaps what someone else wanted.
Right.
So it was really, I think, about coming back into this place of standing my ground and saying, I am a human that isn't as important as all these other humans. And we are all struggling and we are all deserving of pursuing something that we want. So why is the love that I give to some other person, why am I not deserving of that same love to myself?
Absolutely.
I know that I was trying. I had the best intentions with my anxiety. Like, I wanted to criticize myself to say, like, Lauren, I know you can do better than this. Like, you don't need that. Just keep going. Eventually, you'll earn it. Keep being a hard worker. Keep struggling. Which, fine, that's one way to do it. Or I could just
not be, a helpful way.
I could just be like, hey, I sense the struggle right now, and I see that my mind wants to keep struggling, not only with the situation but with the thought. And if I could just sit back and say, like, okay, I could do that. Or what if I choose to just relax through this and choose the easy path? I don't have to struggle or force or work really hard to earn the things that I want to happen in my life.
Oh my gosh.
Just follow the path of peace. Honestly how I live my life now. If I'm doing something, this is like a mantra or like a subliminal trigger, I guess, for me, a positive trigger, that if I'm doing something, and a phrase that I say a lot comes up, which is, why is this so hard? If I say that in my head or out loud, if I'm like doing something on the computer or my password's not working or whatever, and I say, why is this so hard? I instantly am like, Lauren, don't do it. Do you want to bring into your life more of what's hard? Or do you want to choose something that's easier? And not easy like I'm taking the easy way out or I'm giving up, just that I am choosing peace for myself. Right now, this situation is unnecessarily difficult. And if it's not adding to my joy, I'm going to choose the peaceful, joyful path instead.
So it's not about necessarily about those external circumstances being easy. It's about your internal space allowing you to go through it in a peaceful, easy way, rather than, sounds like that beating yourself up about it. That's kind of like, God, why can't you be better at this? Kind of rather than acceptance, love, moving through it. Is that kind of what you're saying with that?
Yeah, I think so. And this could also potentially be a tool that someone might use that might resonate with them to help them on their anxiety journey.
Yeah.
Is that I made peace my number one priority at some point.
Mm.
I stopped making the priority of, like how we were talking about before, is how I was prioritizing other people's needs.
Mm.
My definition of success was to be accepted by others, to be respected by others, to gain these financial securities that made me look like I was a worthy person. But to me, at one point, I realized that when I was aware of my anxiety and how much it was impacting my life and my joy and my peace, that's when I shoved everybody else away and I prioritized my peace. That was the only thing that I wanted for myself. So moving throughout the day, instead of hyper-focusing on the thoughts that were keeping me stuck in anxious loop thinking, I was hyper-focusing on just choosing peace. Whatever I'm doing, do I feel peaceful doing it? So this is, again, coming back to getting in touch with your emotions, getting in touch with my body, and just really always trying to check in with myself and say, is whatever I'm doing right now in the present moment, because that's what matters, is right now, this
right
very moment.
Yeah.
Do I feel peaceful? And if I don't, do I have a choice? Can I choose something else? And that includes thoughts. Am I thinking thoughts that are making me feel peaceful? Or are the thoughts that I'm choosing to entertain right now, are they taking me farther away from that calm presence that I'd like to have in the present moment? So it's just another take on mindfulness, I think, the idea of making your highest priority so that you can just be aware of whatever it is you're doing, but then saying, okay, my reaction to this present moment is a choice. And I can choose to continue that anxious behavior, or I can choose to unhook and move towards peace, which is what I did.
That unhooking, it's interesting how enmeshed with the anxiety we can become, where it feels unsafe to let go of the anxiety, of the nerves, of the worries, and to allow ourselves to be relaxed and peaceful. And we think that's what we want, but it can be so difficult to actually just allow ourselves to relax and to be peaceful. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's why the self-love of my healing was so crucial, because it's not just the mindful awareness to be able to choose that peaceful path, but that you have to have that baseline of self-acceptance, knowing it's going to be hard and it's okay, because you're just going to love yourself anyway. You're only human, and any human would be struggling in this situation. And that when it comes down to it, you are doing this, you are going through this hardship because you love yourself. The discomfort that you feel right now of unhooking is actually the most compassionate thing that you can do for yourself, even though it's painful right now, because it will ultimately lead you to a life of more meaning and purpose.
Oh, that's really cool. I really like that. I love the interesting balancing between self-love, compassion, and mindfulness. I think sometimes it's hard having something you know is helpful to do, but then also the struggle to actually do it, and the doing it and it not feeling like it necessarily is working straight away, or it feels hard when you're doing it and feeling like maybe you're doing it wrong and it should be easy, and being able to lean then into the self-love side of things and be generous towards yourself and accepting of the journey that you're on. Yeah, that's a really beautiful way of explaining it. Thank you. really appreciate that.
Oh, sure. I love talking about this stuff. And the other thing too that just came up when I was listening to that last comment was I didn't know how to choose myself, because that's another thing that I denied permission to myself. Like, I didn't feel that my mom chose my needs a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I grew up thinking that it wasn't okay to choose me, that just wasn't something that happened. And that in order to be chosen, I did have to earn it or prove myself or something, that I just wasn't worthy of being chosen. So then when it came to making choices about my own health internally, subconsciously, I wouldn't choose myself because I didn't think that I was healthy. So I think that that's another aspect of why I was able to see that anxious anxiety loop that was keeping me stuck. And then say, okay, I am aware that what I'm doing right now is making me unhappy. And I know that there's another choice that I could take, but I had a really hard time choosing that peaceful path because I needed to work on my worthiness. Worthiness is like a constant practice.
Oh,
I'm still trying to build that every day. It's tough because any little thing can knock that sense of self-worth kind of a little bit farther down, and you got to bring it back up. But what I did do is a lot of EFT tapping on self-worth. And I did some affirmations that just very simple. I am worthy of being chosen. And I just started to look and observe myself anytime that thought came up. Like, oh, I can't choose that. Or if I, for example, one of the things that my body doesn't like to have in it is bread. I guess I have like a gluten intolerance. But bread is so delicious. And I have such a hard time making that choice to honor my body. And for a really long time, if like anybody had bread anywhere nearby, I had absolutely no willpower. And that became my identity. Oh, I have no willpower. I can't help it. I have to eat bread. And then I would suffer the consequences. My stomach would be in knots. And then it finally got to the point around this time when I was doing all the work around I am worthy of being chosen, that I was able to have some beautiful, you know, cinnamon buns smelling delicious and tempting me and just being like, no, I'm choosing myself right now. Like, it just gave me permission to say, I am worthy of being taken care of. I am willing to choose my health and my needs over the deliciousness that's temporary from that cinnamon bun.
Oh, I love
most
the word
days.
Temporary.
Most days I can
most
do that.
Days, yeah. I love the word temporary. It's like, I am worthy of choosing my greater good over the immediate, which the immediate is so often about numbing the feelings of unworthiness. It's the, has anyone messaged me? Has anyone liked me on social? You know, those immediate things often covers in numbing and propping up our feelings of unworthiness. And doing those bigger, longer term things, the caring for ourselves in terms of what we eat when we know our bodies respond badly to something, to go, actually, I'm going to choose my longer term good rather than the instant satisfaction numbing of something that's often about something else. Food is such a funny thing because when it's good, when food's really good and it's like a healthy good, you know, it's like eating a food that's good for your body, that's cooked really well, it's really well seasoned, it's just, and you're probably with people in an environment where you're like enjoying a sunset or something, there's something about just savoring the food and really enjoying it. And then there's the whole bag of chips that you munch through while sitting on the couch, maybe not even watching a movie, but like scrolling through TikTok on your phone, which is one of my challenges at the moment, because we've just recently got on TikTok and I've kind of moved into like this TikTok scroll and I'm just like, oh my gosh. But it's those sort of trying to kind of prop up feelings and get those, there's those hits that we get from that. One feels really nourishing, whereas the other one feels like you're starving and you're eating mirages of food to try and make yourself feel better. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes, I completely understand. But I have an additional psychological like mess mixed in with my own food relationship because every time I eat, I'm hurting myself.
Right.
Yeah. So I felt like a lot of times the fact that I would choose to eat that sticky bun, I would instantly feel shame because I failed and I knew I was doing something that was going to hurt me. And then I would just get so depressed about that choice that I would eat another sticky bun. So I'm like, well, I'm already going to feel bad. I might as well, you know, enjoy this while I'm here. And it was a very unhealthy relationship to the point where I still don't really love cooking today. I'm trying to work on loving cooking and enjoying that aspect of food that you were just describing, how it's about the experience. It's about all the flavors and the joy that goes into the process of making and eating the food. But just the idea of like going food shopping can still sometimes overwhelm me because I get stuck in those like, oh, I can't eat that. I can't eat this. And that victim idea of like, my body is a villain and I'm a victim to what it can or cannot eat. That sends me into that anxiety spiral too. So that's not true. My body is my best friend. It's always been here for me. It's just looking out for me. It knows what it wants and it tells me what it wants. I should be so proud that I have such a decisive body that communicates with me so loudly because I know without a doubt what it wants.
Yeah.
It wants salads. It wants lean protein. It wants a lot of water and fruit. I freaking love fruit.
Oh, me
and
too.
That's not hard to get that food from my body. And when I eat that way, I feel so much more peaceful. I feel like I have a sharper mind that I can actually make better decisions in the moment. And I don't feel shame. I feel pride that I made this food and that I chose myself and that I felt worthy enough to create a medicinal opportunity for me to heal my body and to heal my life, essentially, by developing that habit.
That's awesome. It sounds like the food, the self-worth, the self-love, acceptance, the caring and choosing yourself, that was quite a journey all wrapped together of leaning into to more care and that helping with the food side of things as well.
Once I decided that I was worth the effort and the time and the patience that it would take to see long-term effects of my habits, that's when I was able to say, yes, okay, mindfulness doesn't really seem to be working on day one. I'm in it for the long game here. Let's see how I feel in a year. And I just did that with everything. I said, okay, in that present moment, is this decision going to keep me in a peaceful place? Is this going to make me joyful and happy? And not because I'm avoiding. That's not what I'm saying, what happiness is here. Yeah. I'm saying like, is this going to lead me down a path that's going to be healthy for me in that long range perspective. And then to just continue showing up every day. And if I got triggered and I took a few steps back just to say, it's okay, I'm going to keep trying because I'm worth it. And one day I will feel that peaceful place. One day I will feel less overwhelmed. And some weeks I have amazing weeks where I just feel like the world was made for me and that I just could like do anything I want in this world. I feel so much limitless potential. And then other days, I may get ghosted by someone that I'm dating. And that is not an easy thing to overcome. You can't just snap out of that. Well, at least I can't, even with all the skills that I've developed. It takes me a little while to pump myself back up again and say, Lauren, you're a catch. That person wasn't for you. And then the world opens up for me again, and I'm loving life. And that's just how it is. If you get stuck in the lows, you don't give yourself the chance to rediscover the highs.
Can you say that again?
If you get if you get stuck in the lows, you don't give yourself a chance to rediscover the highs.
That sounds a lot like acceptance in terms of allowing the ups and downs to come and go as well. As it's you kind of you're going down, you do the things, you allow it to move through that rather than kind of going, oh no, I failed and now I'm locking in the failure by, you know, kind of setting up camp here, but allowing yourself to move through that. And then you can get those highs again, because trying to get stuck in the highs can be a problem as well. You know, you're chasing the dragon, you're chasing those highs. It's that about the ability to move through life without getting stuck in those emotions. And I think it's so interesting because I've had a real challenge as well with emotions and struggling to be accepting of my emotions. I experience emotions so strongly that it's really hard because they can be terrifying and overwhelming.
Yeah.
And to be able to accept and move through my emotions and not get stuck and not go into depression and numb everything and just be like, well, I just want to shut off all emotions. I don't want any of this stuff. And then lose the joy and the peace and all of that side of things as well. Wow, that's so great.
Yeah, so let me tell you actually a little bit more about this ghosting situation, because this is fairly just before recent.
Just before you go into that one, I just want to hit on the worthiness thing that you mentioned before. Because as you're bringing up this worthiness, I think sometimes we can get confused thinking we do the unhealthy things because we're lazy, we're selfish, we're useless, all these different things. When actually often I feel we don't do the healthy things because sometimes we don't feel we're worthy of it. We're worthy of taking the time to be healthy, making the effort, saying actually no to maybe even to work, actually no to work, I'm going to go to a therapist for an hour. You know, these sort of things of I'm worthy of doing the things that are going to make me healthy, that means actually prioritizing myself. Whereas the unhealthy things we do, I do feel so often come out of that sense of not feeling good enough and trying to earn it, trying to, or then feeling like you haven't earned it and then trying to numb that feeling of worthlessness and of failure. It's something that I've been wanting to keep communicating to our audience, because we can get really down on ourselves when we're doing things we see as wrong or unhealthy and have these really negative assumptions about why. But understanding that it comes from our struggle with our worthiness, and that what we need to do is love on ourselves and be more accepting and more forgiving, it feels quite counterintuitive to what we often do. And I know especially in depression, it can be this beating yourself up for all the wrong things you're doing and thinking that's going to get you out of the hole when it's the shovel that's digging you deeper. And so I love how you're talking and just really expressing the part that worthiness plays and how building that, and part of building that is choosing that and choosing to take the time to do the things that then feed into your feelings of worthiness. And it's just this, it's the opposite upward cycle that you want to get yourself on. I really love that, and I really wanted to just speak back into that and to grapple with it a bit myself, because I struggle with worthiness as well. I work in a business where my husband is the many years qualified, trained clinical psychology at university, and has been seeing clients for the last decade. You know, he's very experienced anxiety specialist. And my experience is I've been through so much anxiety and I've done the journey. And so in the business, I'm often sharing my journey, my stories, what I've done. And so often the worthiness of not having the degrees credential and having the School of Hard Knocks credentials and can be quite challenging. And so it's something that I'm continually working on myself. And so it's really great to just dig into that with you. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I would love you to talk about this ghosting side of things, because full disclosure, I'm not in the dating scene myself at the moment. I've been married for almost a decade with my husband, but dating has changed so much since when I was dating, and the sort of things people need to go through, the challenges. I'm just in awe of people who are going through it. It's a massive challenge. Dating's always been a challenge, but I think there's some even bigger challenges in the last 2 years with COVID, and then also with the social media and the dating app side of things. And ghosting has been something that I've been hearing and popping up. So please share more on that side of things.
Yeah, ghosting is hard. I mean, it's this crazy phenomenon where someone just rejects you and it's like culturally acceptable in a way.
Right.
Like we're allowed to ghost people, even though we all know it sucks.
For anyone who doesn't know what ghosting is, can you just do a quick explanation of what ghosting someone is?
Sure. It's when you start talking to someone and then all of a sudden the conversation and the connection just stops out of nowhere. And it's like they have disappeared as a human being and they have just become some ghost that is no longer on this earthly realm.
Oh my gosh.
So this happens to me. I went out on what I thought was an amazing first date. Mm. I'm bi, by the way. And so I went out with this beautiful woman and I thought we had a great time. After our date, I sent that, you know, customary, like, had a great time. She sent a confirmation back that she had a good time.
Yeah.
And I was like, yay, this is great. This is going to work. And obviously my anxiety does tend to come out when I want things to work the most.
Mm.
I want this outcome. I know this is something that I want. It's important to me. So my anxiety says, oh, if this is important, let's think about it a lot.
Right. Yeah.
I was like hyper-focused on the frequency at which she was texting me or whether or not she responded in a way that I thought indicated that she was interested. And, you know, I was just in that negativity bias where I was seeing all the red flags and not really appreciating the evidence that said she, you know, was actually interested in me. Or maybe she wasn't, because then I got ghosted a few days later. And I, being my, you know, that old inner critic came up, that enemy of thoughts that I have within me that was saying, it's because you texted her too much, or it's because you didn't give her space. And I started trying to blame it on me, that that's the reason that she didn't reach out. And it really did send me into a crazy downward spiral. And, you know, for somebody that has a book on mindful dating, and I have a podcast called Date in Peace, I was like, I'm just like a terrible person because I still don't know how to date peacefully. And that's where I was at, you know, I was like back in that super low place. Finally, I realized what you were talking about earlier, that accepting the anxiety was the way out. And I was not doing that. Yeah. I was doing everything that I could to fix the anxiety. I was pulling every CBT or exercise out of my workbooks to try to get rid of these thoughts so that I could get back to peace. Meanwhile, by the way, that just made it worse because I'm still focusing on it. You can't fix the anxiety. You just have to let it be there. Just let it flow through you.
Yeah.
So finally, it was like a Friday evening. And I said to myself, I don't want to feel this way all weekend. I'm sick of thinking about it. I'm sick of trying to solve it. And that's when I finally got the distance and diffused from it enough to say, oh, I'm obsessing about this right now. I was like, I'm just going to choose to let it go. I'm just going to stop thinking about it. And if I still feel this kind of icky shame and this icky anxiety coming with me this weekend, fine. I'm just going to let it be there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to just do my thing. I'm going to try to focus on that peace path, on what brings me joy. And I'm just going to let go of trying to figure out what went wrong with this ghosting. And wouldn't you know, by Sunday night, I was completely fine. I wasn't identifying with that situation. And by the way, also when I was at that place on Sunday night, taking that moment to reflect on how my weekend was, I was able to finally say, well, maybe she didn't like the fact that I didn't live near her. Or maybe she was seeing somebody else and that person was more interested in her. Or maybe she was legitimately just not interested in me. And that's fine. It doesn't mean that I'm not worthy of love by her or anyone.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I did anything to ruin it. It just means that it was not meant to be and she was not my person.
Yeah.
My person will stay. So like
your person will communicate
diffusing.
What's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. They won't ghost. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that the reason I wanted to share that story was just to highlight that a lot of times when we get in that place of that lower energy of like, you know, getting stuck in the emotions of fear, anxiety, shame, whatever it is, that a lot of times we struggle to get rid of them and to fight them. We're actually, like you said, that's the shovel digging the hole deeper. And that all we have to do is accept that we're in a hole.
Yeah.
When you can see that you're in a hole, you're not the one digging anymore.
Yeah.
You're the person watching yourself dig.
Yeah.
And that's when you're like, why is she struggling?
Why am I digging this hole? Why am I doing that? It's like, I think especially panic is such this. It's this, the fear of the feelings, this fear of what will happen if the feelings get worse. So trying to get rid of the feelings, which then amps up the feelings because you're focused on the feelings. And it's the funny counterintuitive thing of when you go, okay, I feel like this and I'm just going to let it ride. And I know my body can only keep up this for so long. And so we're just going to ride that out. And I know with panic, which is something I've struggled with, sometimes I'll do the thing that I get scared of, the sensation. So I'll go, like I'll go, it's almost daring it to get worse. It's like, okay, let's see how big this panic can be type thing. And it's amazing how doing that, it tapers off so much quicker because I'm not trying to stop it from happening.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think, oh, we can have a state-dependent memory where when we're in the anxiety, it feels like we've always had the anxiety and it's always going to be there. And it's amazing how as you develop these skills, and I feel these are quite advanced skills, as you develop these advanced skills, you are able to sit with it, carry on with your day, even though you're feeling those anxiety, and then you realize a couple of days later, actually, I'm okay. And for those big ones, and sometimes for like a panic attack, it might be half an hour, it might be 5 minutes even between when it kind of peaks and starts to come away. With what you're talking about with ghosting, I don't know if you are much of a Brené Brown fan, but I love Brené Brown. Oh, my gosh, big. But one of the things she says is clear is kind, and that's what ghosting just, I just like, that just rubs me absolutely the wrong way. It just pisses me the hell off because it's so unkind. Just a little bit of clarity would be kinder than just never saying anything because the person's left. There's no room for that person to grow. Like there's no learning experience. There's no closure. There's nothing. There's nothing. Yeah. Gosh, that pisses me off.
And I feel like those people that are ghosting are avoiding their own emotions. They don't want to be the bad guys.
Yeah.
They don't want to have that uncomfortable moment of saying, I'm sorry, but this wasn't for me. And why? Yeah. Why is that something that has to draw up the feeling of like that you're being a bad person? It's not. Like Brené said, clear is kind.
Clear
just
is kind.
And just be like, hey, I wasn't feeling a romantic connection. End of story. That doesn't have to be mean. That is you just being like, this is the facts here.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with you. I'm just not feeling it. And
just,
then
not
you are being kind to the other person.
And you're letting them, you're releasing them as well so that they can kind of move past that and move on to the next. Because, you know, when you're dating and when you're trying to meet a person that is the person you, you know, want that to have a longer connection with, you've got to work your way through meeting a range of people. And I think it feels like the least people could do is give the ability for people to then to kind of like tick that off and to kind of like, okay, that wasn't. Ghost, it's like, what if they come back and what the
there's a lot of uncertainty in it and
so much,
just a lot left unsaid.
I'm gonna just say, I don't care if that's socially acceptable, it's just bad manners and it's not okay. Like, just because something is a norm or something that people are doing doesn't mean it's okay. Like, that's not okay.
And for everybody that's listening out here, if you're dating, just make a vow to yourself and to all of us daters too, to just, if you're in that position where you're thinking like, I could ghost and it would probably be all right, but I'm going to lead by example here and not ghost. And by also like making that a practice of being upfront and honest about how you're feeling with someone else, that's actually going to be helping you build your relationship with yourself too. So that you don't ghost out on your own feelings, so that you don't say, oh, that's too difficult for me to face, so I'm just going to disappear from this earthly realm when it comes to that problem.
Exactly. It's about, I think, building that self-integrity in yourself that I can speak the truth. And it's not about saying it in a nasty, hurtful way. You know, there's a certain amount of information you would give that is kind, but enough clarity that that person can then move on and you can move on. Yeah. And
that, well, this is the phrase that I use that you can feel free to use because it's super sweet to the point, and I do think that it's kind. You just say, I really enjoyed getting to know you and I think you're an amazing person, but I'm just not seeing a romantic connection. Done.
Yeah.
That's easy. It's one sentence.
And I think that is a belief, which is really important, I think. A belief in everyone's worthiness and everyone, that each person is a valuable person, an amazing person, and that doesn't mean you have to have a romantic or any form of connection with them. But I love developing that because if you are developing that sort of belief for other people, it will become easier to believe that about yourself. you know.
For sure, yeah.
It's so much easier to say something kind to somebody else, a friend, you know. If I know often we'll go, if we know a client is giving themselves a hard time, we're like, well, what would you actually say if this was one of your good friends? Like, how would you talk to them? And so if you can start, yeah, doing that sort of kindness towards others, then I'm sure that would bounce back onto your own feelings.
For sure. Loving kindness meditation has been a huge part of my journey as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Just learning to give other people the wishes for safety, love, happiness, and of course doing that to myself as well. But that whole process of wishing everyone peace has allowed me and gave me permission that, oh yeah, I'm just like everyone else and I deserve peace as much as they do.
As well. Well, this has been an amazing conversation. I know I had other questions, but what we've talked about has been really great and I've really enjoyed diving into this with you, Lauren. Thank you so much for sharing so much of yourself as well, your own personal experience and journey, and being so vulnerable with that. I know that will be hugely powerful for our audience to hear that, and having people actually come on and talk about their own anxiety is massive. So thank you. I really appreciate that, and all your experience around the dating side of things. And yeah, it's just been such an amazing conversation. So thank you for joining us. And please tell us if people want to connect with you, work with you, find out any more, where can they find you? What's the best place to find you?
Well, thank you, Becky. I've had a really great time with you here today too. I guess the best place to find me would be on Instagram. I'm at Metadate, that's M-E-T-T-A. And right now I have a course coming up. It's a 5-week live group course on self-love, actually.
Ah, brilliant.
Specifically for singles. So I'm helping them to get to that place of worthiness. So that way, when they go out on a date, they'll be able to spot any unhealthy relationships that might not really be good for them, like toxic relationships. And instead feel that they are worthy of choosing and waiting for the people that are really going to be in line with what they want. Awesome. So I'm super excited for that. You can find out more details about that on my Instagram or at my website, laurensmithstudio.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Anxiety Specialist podcast. That's it for this week's episode. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to click the follow button and please do share this with your family and friends. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook or Instagram. That's at Anxiety Specialists. And if you're interested to learn how you can live an anxiety-free life, you can get our epic Anxiety Reducer Guide absolutely free, so you can get started right away on getting your anxiety back down. Just grab the link in the show notes. Feel free to message us and let us know what you'd like to learn next. I am your host, Michael Burrows.
And I'm Becky Burrows.
And we're going to be back next week with more tips, strategies, and insights so you can get the anxiety-free life you deserve.